Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to our 17th episode of But Why Though, a philosophy-themed comedy podcast with comedian Josh Carter
and philosopher Nancy Lopez.
And today we're going to be talking about philosophy of sports. So
we got some great guests. We got my buddy Alan Meehan, who I met on Super Bowl Sunday randomly one day at the stand, and he's a comedian and funny, and we like to bullshit about sports all the time, so who better than Alan Meehan? And also joining us, we have my good friend Amory Castilla. She's a stand-up comedian and sports personality. Some of you may know her as the part-time bro. She's a co-host to Vikings Brawl for the Brawl Network and a contributor to the Purple Code. We had a great conversation. We just hung out, talked sports, listened to all this philosophy, brought the philosophy and applied it to our random world as sports fans. We love gambling. We were watching, I think, the Patriots game? Oh, no, this is during that Jets-Broncos game. It was on in silence in the background during this. What a horrible game. But don't worry, this was a great episode, unlike any of the Jets games that have happened so far in 2020. But whatever, it was good. Let's make the most of this sports season with great episodes like this. So tune in, everybody. This is a great episode of the But Why Though podcast.
Hi, everyone. So today we're going to be talking about philosophy of sports. And this is pretty interesting. This is sort of a new topic in philosophy. It came about around in the 70s. And there's a lot of different topics that have been philosophically discussed over time recently regarding different aspects of sports and how we should go about these things. So we're going to look at the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy and how they describe philosophical issues in sports and see how we feel about it. So the first topic I wanted to talk about was cheating in sports, and they describe it as an intentional violation of the rules to gain a competitive advantage, however you choose to do that. And for example, Oliver Lehman, a philosopher, has argued that cheating can become part of the skill and strategy of a game, thereby adding to the game's excitement and interest for both players and spectators. And in this case, cheating is permissible, he argues. So some people think that cheating, that you might have to cheat in order
That's
to...
That's the Patriots, dude. The cheating is part of the skill and strategy.
I was waiting for Spygate. I was waiting yep. for Phil Belichick to come through here.
How many of those
here?
Six rings were illegitimate?
Or was it cheating, though? I mean, I wish my team would cheat at this point.
I mean, honestly, Belichick's best cheat, though, getting down 28-3 and then just finding the way back.
Finding the way back against the Falcons,
I mean, though, it does seem like it's pretty common. A lot of people seem to be doing that nowadays.
Do you think he just knew all right. the Falcons' plays back then? And then he was like, you know what? I'm going to make this look like it's miraculous, so they'll always be telling the story. Let's let them just score 28, and then we remember just what all their offensive plays are. It'll just confirm.
Wasn't it last year? Because 2020 has seemed like 5 years when they recorded the Bengals game?
That was last year.
That's last year, right?
Uh-huh. And when I'm the like, Bengals were the worst team in the NFL, they still had to go record
yeah. the game. That's dedication to the game.
I feel like it tells you to cheat with everyone.
A lot of people think that cheating might be okay in certain situations. If everyone else is doing it, then you might have to do it to keep up. And some people say that, no, this is unjust. We shouldn't be doing it. So what do you guys think? Is cheating wrong if everyone else is doing it? Should we accept it or should we just be against this?
That's what Patriots fans say, too. They're like, every team does it. We just get caught every year.
No, but like, you can go in a lot of different ways, though, Josh. Like, okay, so Bill Belichick is, I don't want to take away from his brilliant coaching, though, right? But all the cheating they've done. Or what about like refs favor quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers or LeBron gets calls, you know what I mean? Like, it's all like, I don't know. It's all cheating. I don't know.
That's true. I feel like certain quarterbacks definitely get, like, they will let you, like, poke Cam Newton's eyeballs out.
But if you like touch Tom Brady like before he throws the ball, it's
or what you told me about that coach that was playing that was paying the players.
She wants me to talk about Bounty Gate. For her, that was the most egregious.
Okay, now we're bringing it back around to your Jets now.
Well, the Greg Williams. Do you think he still does Bounty Gate? Do you think I feel like every team does Bounty Gate?
I think if they do it, they do it a lot less sloppy.
Wait. You mean stupid ass Sean Payton? I'm a lot of curses. Yeah, you can curse. Sorry.
Don't worry.
09 was a tough one for me, y'all.
Uh-huh. Didn't they do it to the Vikings?
Are you talking about the Jets or are you talking about Sean Payton NFC Championship?
I'm talking about the Saints.
Yeah, Sean Payton. Yeah, that
was that the year garbage. The Bounty Gate?
Yeah, but
yeah,
yeah. Greg Williams was because that's when they took down Favre in the NFC Championship.
But I remember.
I mean, AP did fumble the ball. So did Brett. So like, turnovers did kill us. But that Bounty Gate was some BS, man.
I mean, but every team in the league was doing that. They had little incentives. They still find ways to do that. But I think like it's definitely a lot more in hushed tones. Whereas like before. Teams were a lot more brazen about it. Like, I feel like people are just getting more discreet with the cheating as opposed to, you know, like in the past, everyone just kind of accepted it's a part of the game. Like this, do you ever see the documentary where they were talking about greenies and baseball?
No.
Basically, it was about the 84 Mets, like the old school Mets, you know, like the Daryl Strawberry, Doc Gooden, you know, like the championship winning Mets teams. And they had like bowls of amphetamines and like kind of like the team would just look at you weird if you didn't take them. Like they would look at you as if you're not trying.
Well,
back in the day,
do that too now. When the Seahawks won the Super Bowl, Richard Sherman came out and said that the whole defense was on Adderall, which is amphetamines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you look for whatever edge you can get.
Yeah, they all are on Adderall, the Seahawks, but it's legal for them to do that because you get big all the prescriptions like in Seattle.
So they all have ADD.
Yeah, basically. But like
maybe
that's
Pete
why
Carroll should have took some Adderall and ran the ball against the Patriots. I don't know.
See, I can't agree with that because like the thing is like everybody in the building knew they were gonna run it. So he'd have been praised as a genius.
I feel bad that that's a deadbeat horse,
it's Marshall
right?
Lynch, who did the Patriots have on the D line that year? Like
I don't remember. But the what about and also, like, even, well, now the Astros are in postseason, stupid Twins. They cheated last year, and they won a World Series.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I don't watch baseball, but I remember that story.
Oh, you mean the Astros? Huh? Are you talking about the Astros?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is insane. Like, I still don't know how it worked. Like, how did somebody not notice them banging trash cans?
Wait. Like, let's remind me the story. And Niancy definitely doesn't know the story.
I don't watch baseball.
All right, you probably know it better than me. Like I know of it like peripherally.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the details. I just remember I woke up and I was like, I just remember the Astros won the World Series, but they were cheating by. What, getting the other team's play calling? Was that it? Signs?
Stealing like the signs of like upcoming pitches. And then right. I'm not sure how they did it, but I believe it was like by like banging on trash cans something to let the batter know what pitch was coming up.
I see.
Oh, okay.
This is what it says when I looked up Astros cheating on Google. The Houston Astros sign-stealing scandal resulted from revelations that members of the Houston Astros organization in Major League Baseball using technology stole signs of opposing teams during the 2017 and 18 seasons. For years, other MLB teams have suspected the Astros of stealing signs.
Wow.
So what's using technology?
And they won the World Series.
They got someone on the dark web?
I believe cameras. I believe like they had like cameras kind of like focused on the pitcher and the catcher. And like eventually, you know, throughout the course of the game, they kind of like decipher how the pitcher and the catcher are communicating.
I feel like baseball takes cheating so much more seriously than football. First of all, you never hear football players on steroids, like getting suspended. Like you never hear about
football players, Conklin last year for the Titans got suspended for steroids. Like football is much more quiet about it because people just don't care about steroids in baseball and football as much. Like baseball is like the real steroid sport, which has always confused me. It's like baseball and UFC, which are on like completely different ends of the steroid spectrum. Like baseball, I don't feel like you can hurt anybody with your steroid use, and UFC is only hurting people with your steroid use.
Right.
Baseball, if you're the pitcher and you just hit the batter, you could throw it at them. Or I don't know. I guess the batter got really mad and just swung the bat from out of roid rage at the catcher.
but that's you know, wrong. Like the point of baseball isn't to like actively go out and hurt somebody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, whereas, so, you know, UFC.
One of my uncle's best friends growing up played football at Syracuse. And he said that there was a guy who would just come in before every game with like a fishing tackle box full of just different steroid pills. And people just pop them like candy. Wow. This is like back in like the 90s, like Syracuse football in the 90s and stuff, or maybe just the late 80s.
Yeah. So that leads us to our second topic, performance enhancement. And that ranges from pharmaceutical substances, steroids, PEDs, to equipment as well, like full body swimsuits. I hadn't even heard of this, that make you faster, I think.
Really?
Yeah. So like there's also equipment that you could use. And some people are against it. Some people think that they should be allowed to do this because it's their own rights. And some people think that we shouldn't make it illegal, but we should try to regulate it in some way. So
regulating would be very interesting.
What would?
Regulating. You're like, you can have this amount of substance distribute to everybody equally.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's really funny.
Should the NFL, by the way, give Josh Gordon reparations once they let every other player smoke weed?
I feel like, are we talking about marijuana?
Oh, no. The
NFL that is not a performance. Now. Did you see that?
I think you should let people smoke weed.
Really? Yeah, like it doesn't make sense that weed is illegal in any form of it's not a performance enhancer. The only even close to theory I've heard about marijuana being a performance enhancer is Joe Rogan talks about like jujitsu, like just kind of like getting into like the flow state, you know, like you just kind of get into like a state where you kind of recognize patterns better, but like that's the only theory I've heard of marijuana being any kind of performance enhancer.
So what about film day they should smoke a bowl and like just when they're before they go practice? Yep. Maybe. I don't know. Weed at this point, I mean, I just don't think it matters.
Yeah. Some people think that performance enhancement issues include concerns that the framework associated with anti-doping involves the violation of the athlete's personal rights, and that anti-doping policies closely resemble a criminal justice system too. And also that assumptions that justify anti-doping campaigns are morally problematic. I don't know. Do you guys think that it violates their personal rights to not allow them to do this? Or should we restrict their use and only allow them to use some? Or what?
Just let them do whatever. I don't mind if they smoke crack and run 100 miles an hour.
Just give me my fantasy points, Josh is like. Yeah. No, yeah. I think you should follow the rules and the laws and be a role model. So like, I feel like weed is legal in a lot of places now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But like nobody has a problem with, you know, like as far as like, you know, being role models, nobody has a problem with every single championship celebration. They're popping bottles of champagne.
Right.
That's a drug. Right. Like,
and alcohol is way worse for you.
So, I mean, the thing is, like,
it it's a drug just associated all... with white people, so it's okay. Champagne.
And hey. That's like, really funny.
Yep.
But that yeah, is, like, that's probably part of the reason. I mean, that's part of the reason of why it's like it in our society.
I think it's just like we've come to accept it as, you know, something that's not that bad. It's something, and like weed is getting to that point. Like weed is starting to hit that kind of point where it's not as much of a, it's not looked at as much of a drug anymore. It's looked at kind of as, it's not quite alcohol because there's still that stigma of it being illegal and you're a criminal if you, you know, smoke marijuana. But like now that it's becoming more legal and more acceptable, that stigma is going to slowly fade over time and it's going to get looked at more closely to alcohol than it is to like heroin, for instance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll ever let us drive on weed? Like if you could have a, like your own, like I could drive on weed license because I'm not the type of stoner who just stops paying attention. I actually get super focused. Could you?
Because there's different strands. I mean, I'm not a weed smoker, but people have always explained this to me. Like, there's different strands, like to for different reasons, different purposes.
Mm-hmm. But you could still get a DUI for being high. And
yeah, I know that. Especially.
Oh yeah, so maybe we shouldn't do that.
Yeah, it's wildly hard to prove though, because like right now, one thing they're trying to develop is. Like basically the same way there's a breathalyzer test, they don't have anything like that for weed. Like the only thing they can do is give you a, you know, drug screen and show you're positive, but it's really hard to, there's no way to actually prove marijuana intoxication. And that's part of the reason why it's so hard to get it legal is because if you can't prove the same way you can with alcohol, hey, this person is actually impaired. Here is a verified test showing they're impaired now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't have enough knowledge on marijuana, but I feel so old. I feel like so, like a grandma marijuana. But I think also if you're getting you're just doing your job and you're following the rules. I'm not saying like you're being a rapper and out there with guns and marijuana and hoes and like whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? If you're using it for the right reasons. Cause I know a lot of trainers, I know a lot of athletes, I know a lot of people that don't drink.
Being out with marijuana, people. Guns and hoes sounds like the right purpose.
I know athletes and personal trainers and everything that don't drink or whatever, but they do use marijuana for recovery and for mental health. So interesting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I don't see an issue with it, with marijuana specifically, but
also 80s and 90s and before the 90s, before we became this wuss culture, even if you guys watch like The Last Dance or any of these documentaries, they're like drinking at halftime, like alcohol, like they were doing crazy things. You know what I mean? So like, and they were still immortal athletes.
Well, didn't LT and the Giants do coke before every game, and that's why he was like so coked?
Baseball players, oh my god, everyone was crazy.
Like Lawrence, you know the story about like Lawrence Taylor. He says that he played every game coked out. He's like one of the top like pass rushers of all time. Yeah,
I believe it. Taylor. I believe it. Did you see how he got after that ball?
Yeah. Like it was allowed back then. Like University of Miami, that the reason why they're not a good team anymore is, or like they, I guess they're ranked again finally, but like right before I went to school, like in like the early 2000s, like Miami was great the late 90s, very early 2000s, but then the scandal was found that all those players, like the best high school players in the country, were getting like treated to as much coke and hookers as they wanted to on their visits to Miami. So
so you're telling me rich?
That's how they got Andre Johnson and Ray Lewis.
People found a way to party awesome.
Yeah. So
actually, that was before they were even that rich.
What?
Go ahead. I said, yeah. Actually, that's before they were even that rich. Like you know, like the '80s. Like so, yeah. Like that game was eating more off fringe benefits than it was actual pay.
Yeah, it was just like. I bet you they got paid too. I mean,
now we're all just in a bubble with no fans. Where we're at.
such a minimal amount of cocaine going on in the NBA bubble. I mean, how are you supposed to decompress?
They really don't like those monitors.
Sports now versus sports in the '80s is like Christian rock versus like gangster rap. I feel like,
right?
Yeah, seriously. That's really funny.
Yeah, it's like the bands, like, you know, like the '70s and eighties was like, you know, when they first broke and they were all crazy, and like now it's like the Stones at 70, and it's like, oh, you know, Mick Jagger works out 2 hours a day. It's like, I mean, at the end of the day, it is good, but I mean, I haven't wanted to listen to any of your new stuff for like the past 20 years. It may, maybe, just maybe, if you went back to the drugs, something new will come out.
I hope Mick's not listening to this.
I'm just fucking. If he's listening to this, I hope he is. That's good for you.
I hope. Yeah. Exactly.
Mick, those like, views don't necessarily reflect the views of the whole podcast.
I know. I'm going
I'm just
crazy.
Joking.
I mean,
I'm just joking.
We talk way shit on this podcast and we're all worried about COVID.
Yeah. Who cares? I'm just joking. All right.
We're totally messing around.
Answering Mick, your stuff philosophy questions. Well, but I hope we're doing a good job so far.
Hey, we're taking them and rolling with it. That's the fun part of this.
Yeah. Honestly, I've attacked Mick Jagger more than I've actually attacked philosophy of anything so far.
About smoking weed and driving. All sorts of shit.
Well, the real big problems of the day.
We answer the question quick and let it lead to other philosophical quandaries that we have.
Right. We'll go on to the next one. So the topic of dangerous sports, I'm sure we've all heard about this. So some people say that exposure to the risk of significant physical harm is intrinsic to participation in many sports. So the category of dangerous sports includes nonviolent sports such as free solo rock climbing and downhill skiing, collision sports such as football and rugby, and combat sports such as boxing and mixed martial arts. So what's the value of dangerous sports, and should the state regulate these activities through public policy, or what do you guys think?
Nah.
It's gotten a lot softer, I'm just gonna say. I don't know if you guys have seen some of these flags in the first 3 weeks, but like, they're not, it's not as physical. No, it's physical, but you know what I mean.
I feel like that's more of a money grab or like a defense of themselves from the NFL than it is like a government regulation, though. Like, that's right. The NFL, like, quarterbacks are the most protected player on the field by far, because you lose an Aaron Rodgers, you lose a Patty Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson. Now your viewership is hit. Like, they lose so much money if one of those players gets hurt. It regulates itself, but it does water down the game as well.
Like,
football, I feel like, is one of the safer sports on this list. Who the hell is free solo rock climbing?
People do.
There was a guy on Netflix. He had a documentary. People seemed to like it.
I wouldn't even.
But the
I
dangerous. Even
like Go ahead.
I think any sport is. I don't know, dangerous is a little dramatic, but you train, these people train their whole lives or every day so they can play safely. Like, that's how, as we've seen in the NFL, that's why you have a preseason. That's why you have your stupid fantasy teams are ruined by ACL injuries right now. Mm-hmm. But that's what I'm saying is, like, you train your mind and your physical body all the time so you can participate in these dangerous activities. So I think that's what we do. That's what's awesome.
But at the same time, if you're like on an NBA or NFL team, like they'll get pissed at you if they find out you're playing another sport on your free time. Like, if you're in a pickup, like who just got in trouble for being in a pickup basketball game? Was it Le'Veon Bell? Le'Veon Bell, Gase got all mad at him because he went bowling when he was like injured or something, or like sick. He was like sick.
Okay, well, but you shouldn't go bowling or do something stupid like that if you're injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of, I remember, being recruited for college basketball, and they wouldn't let me go on like a school ski trip.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
But stuff it makes like that. Sense.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that how Andrew Luck got hurt?
Right. Yeah.
Like, he got hurt skiing, and then like that ended up just being the problem, and then he retired. And like, the Colts actually had a reason to not pay him that contract they paid him, but they did end up paying him even though he retired. But you know, like that's one of those things where
it's your
like,
job.
Yeah. It's like you're a very high paid employee. If you're a very high paid employee and you want to keep that high paid job, you may have to accept, okay, I don't get to do X, Y, and Z.
No, stick to like cornhole or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen lots of fights start over cornhole.
Oh, yeah, they do, right? Just chill.
But yeah, really like, you know, like regulation is necessary because like base jumping, I understand people want to do it, but that's extremely dangerous.
What's base jumping? Right.
Huh?
What is that base jumping?
Base jumping is basically where it's base stands for like basically what it is like you jump off of some like a fixed structure at a very low height relative to like skydiving and you with a parachute.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, okay. Like
I'm not doing that.
And yeah, like most people aren't, but yeah, loose definition. I mean, I'd consider it as much of a sport as I would like free solo climbing.
How high do you jump from, like the top of a building?
Building is one of the B's. It's but yeah, like bridges. I think minimum is like 1,500 feet.
Okay.
Like that's crazy. So like 1,500 and above. But yeah, it's.
I hate height.
Yeah, like
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, she likes that kind of stuff. So you could get another date for those.
okay. Yeah, but yeah, people there was like one protest where people were like protesting the police not letting them base jump off of this bridge. So they were basically doing these like jumps they would get arrested for. And the third basically they do the base jump, get down to the ground, get arrested by the police. I believe it was like the third person who jumped ended up dying. Yeah.
Oh shit. So this is there is public policy involved in
like base jumping is like very, you know, it depending on where it's at, how high it is, what the fixed structure is. Yeah, like there's place, you know, a lot of, you know, structures it's illegal to base jump off of. It's not heavily like certain ones aren't as heavily regulated as the others, but yeah, base jumping isn't, you know, 100% legal like rock climbing is, for instance.
Interesting.
I don't even like the cliff jump, you know, when you go above like some deep water. I'm too nervous that I'll like hesitate the last minute and hit the rocks or something.
I'm fat. The speed at which I hit the ground is way too fast. Like I don't need to add any more height.
I don't think your weight. Oh yeah, actually, never mind. I'm dumb.
No. Technically, you know, if we are going pure physics, you are absolutely right. You know, the feather and the bowling ball in a vacuum.
Yeah. Well, the acceleration of gravity stays constant, but I think weight isn't the definition of weight. Gravity has something to do with your weight. But I don't know. It's not a physics. I forgot. I did physics. I was like an engineer like over 10, or it's actually just 10 years ago, but I don't remember any of that shit. So let's just move on.
All right. So we're barely even wading into, you know, philosophy but hey guys, let's jump into physics too. I mean, hey, I'm
trying to sound smart right here. Uh-huh. You know?
Listen.
I mean, I dropped out as a junior in high school, so clearly I'm an expert on all these things.
Obviously. Well, no, remember Tom Brady's wife, Giselle, she was very upset about the concussion protocols and the helmets in the NFL. I don't remember exact words, but she went off.
Really?
Like, she was one of, like, many people who were upset about the concussion protocols for the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be strict enough.
She's also dating one of the most important people in the NFL.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I don't know why.
But when it comes to, like, danger, like, where do you draw the line if... You know, the thing is, we don't want any brain injuries. It's like, well, getting punched in the head one time is a low-level brain injury. So it's like, where exactly is the threshold, and like, what exactly is a concussion? Is a mild concussion?
I mean, we're on
the same
social media all day. Just as bad, no.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, you could keep upgrading like the technology of equipment. I'm surprised that we don't have better better helmets for players that have some kind of material inside that's like that could take enough like pressure to completely like. You know, when I was in school, there were material science engineers who made like these weird like plastics and stuff that had these crazy properties like you would never like expect. Like there's like a business card you could completely bend, and then like you add some heat and it's completely regular again or something. Like that. Like there's all these weird types of things. Why not have some kind of padding in your helmet that'll absorb all the impact? Or something like
that. But there probably is. I can't even imagine the equipment. I even go to my niece and nephew's like 10-year-old basketball games and practices. You should see the facilities. It's BS. I'm just jealous because we didn't have that when I was a child. And it's unreal the technology we have just for training purposes. It's awesome.
Yeah.
But when you try and keep it, you know, safer, you also got to figure like the same technology that's keeping people healthier and keeping people safer is also making them more effective at hurting the other person if that's the objective of the game.
Right.
You know, like the same way, like, okay, you're faster, you run faster, you hit harder, you can make the hit more crisp. That also is going to, you know, add to the potential damage you could do as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it has changed over time because even in boxing, they used to keep going until they were bleeding like uncontrollably. And now I think they stopped the fight at a certain point. Obviously, I'm not an expert at it, but
heavyweight fights used to be like 15 rounds, like back in like the Ali days. Before that, there were just limitless rounds. Like this is like 20s, 30s when, you know, basically until one person's done, the fight keeps going on. But like after, I think somebody died in a boxing match last year and they're like, it's down to 12 rounds and
that's
they're even
so
looking
sad.
At restricting that.
Wow. 3 rounds. That's going to make a big difference.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, it does though, because like the final rounds are where, you know, that, you know, consecutive, you know, like the damage on top of damage, you're, you know, slowest to react and you've already taken so much damage. Like those last couple rounds can, you know, are the most dangerous.
Mm-hmm. The last
going back to. There should have been a damn preseason for the NFL to prevent injuries. Sorry.
Yeah.
I guess they were afraid of the COVID. But wasn't there baseball way before? Whoa. I guess they already had.
I'd rather get COVID than tear an ACL. Never mind. They'll try to cancel me, and I like where my career is headed. So please don't put this out.
All right, I'll edit.
I'm just kidding.
Okay.
No, but I'm just saying, I hope. I'm not mad at the NFL. I'm just saying I think we've learned a lot this year in general with sports because how crazy with all these regulations trying to keep people safe, all this stuff.
But if they're already playing during the season, how does not having a preseason prevent anything? I don't know. I feel like it's the same thing.
Yeah, that's just their way.
But it gets you more conditioned because, like, you know, you can practice, you know, that and practices have also been limited too. So, like, the conditioning you would normally get leading up to a season isn't there the way, you know, it has been in years past.
Yeah,
so your body is not used to
it. It's like you're having no foreplay. It's like you're having no foreplay. It's just like, bam!
I get that. But
no, but do you know what I mean? Though there's no warm up.
Yeah.
Why not? Like,
dry and painful.
Yeah, but why not let them have the preseason if they're letting them play anyway?
That's what the whole thing was. They were thinking about or starting the season later or like whatever. But now it's just messy.
Yeah, I think they just didn't know what to do.
It's one of those things where it's like everyone's just trying to figure it out as you go.
I'm actually not mad at anyone, even even the Titans down there.
well, hey, your guys got away unscathed. So, yep. Honestly, I feel a little bummed we couldn't, can't play Pittsburgh this week. So, costs. But it makes you wonder, like, what's going to happen, upcoming weeks, because this isn't going to be the only, outbreak.
I think it's an advantage for you guys. I think the Titans got a huge advantage by having that game moved, because the Titans, I feel like, are a team that when they're good, they beat everyone except for those classic teams like the Steelers and
they're going to start heating up.
They should be hotter by the time they get to the Steelers. Did they beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, you guys are heating up.
Yeah, well, we beat the Chiefs last year in the regular season. Yeah, we came back on the Chiefs.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then a lot of good that did in the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm. I've been there too many times, my friend.
We'll see what happens. It's kind of a crazy time for sports right now, for sure.
If there's one sport that's handling right, it's the NBA. It's by far the most inconvenient for the athletes, but I mean, if you're dead set on doing it and you're dead set on it being as safe as possible, the NBA's approach was the harshest, but it also is the most effective.
I'm sorry, but those games have been fire, though. Bubble games.
Yeah. Oh, this has been the best postseason.
This has been the best NBA season in a while. I'm like, this is dope. Oh,
absolutely. It's been so competitive. I mean, I love what the Heat are doing. Nobody saw that coming.
They've all had to be in camp and I don't know. I like it.
Wait, so you a Timberwolves?
Yeah.
No, I'm a LeBron person.
See, Lakers? So you just
there we go. That's what I'm talking about.
I went to Cleveland. I went down to South Beach. I came back. I went to LA.
I didn't go with him to South Beach, and I'm not making that mistake.
I was mad when he went
again
to South Beach. I was still hoping he was going to the Knicks.
Everyone is mad. Everyone hates it. Whatever.
I'm sure we'll get into sports philosophy for this. Here's the thing I hated when he went to Miami. When he went to Miami, I felt he didn't keep his promise to Cleveland the night he got drafted.
Then he went back. It's like
I was getting there. I'm with LeBron. Honestly, even if he hadn't won a championship, right?
He had to go through his host stage.
Being a Cleveland fan, we are never going to have the best player of any sport choose to come here ever again.
Okay,
so the fact that he was willing, he didn't have to, he got drafted here, so he had to come. He went to Miami, which, he was in his rights to do. But the fact that he decided to come back to Cleveland,
right,
that alone, even without winning the championship, right, was enough for me to follow him to the ends of the earth.
Okay, well, I like this. Good for you. I like this.
The thing I didn't like about him
is
it was the start of these NBA super teams in this generation, at least. So I
was a 90s kid. I loved the Bulls. So I followed greatness. So it's fine.
I don't know. I like the Bulls. I have a picture of me as a kid with a Bulls jacket on. But yeah, I really got into basketball when LeBron got drafted. I remember me and my mom driving around the night he got drafted, and there was a grown man on the radio crying that we got LeBron James. And I'm like, well, this guy must be good. And then he actually was. So many times you hear oh, this is the next guy, this is the next one, this is the next.
No, he's the Messiah.
And they never live up. And LeBron actually exceeded, his expectations were high, and he way exceeded them.
I'm the same age as him, and I was being recruited for college basketball when he was on ESPN with his high school game. So I was in love with him watching him in high school on TV. So I was this is my man.
Did you end up playing
basketball
in college?
No, because my uncles will remind you all the time, and my mom. No, just kidding. Politics, and I was just burnt out. I think this is part of philosophy that I read in the outline, but I just didn't like how I had to do only basketball when I was 17 years old. I mean, I don't know. I couldn't play any other sports. I couldn't go on trips. I couldn't do a lot of things.
Why were those restrictions in place?
So my coach, they wanted me to focus just on basketball, which I understand that, but I was allowed to do like track to work on my speed. Girl was slow.
Okay.
But cause I had to change positions. I'm really tall, but like I had a transition from in New Mexico, I was a center, but then when I like traveled for AAU, I was small, which was funny. So
yeah, I became exactly. A power forward. You went from like a 5 to a 3.
Yeah. And so depending I was like, oh, girls gotta get faster.
When you played AAU, did you meet any like big players like Brittany Griner or anyone like that?
No, but these girls are huge. I mean, you know me, I'm a pretty big person. Like I'm tall, but I was like, it was just funny. But I just saw a bigger picture and I didn't think basketball was like the love of my life, but it just wasn't, you know, wasn't my forever. It was my first love. Always will be. But I just was like, I'm 17. Like others, like, I don't know. I wanted to move to like a big city and, you know, that whole shebang.
Where'd you end up going to college? Did you just do like.
Yeah, I went to fashion school in LA because that makes no sense.
Oh, wow. That's a change.
I would have gone to UCLA really and tried random. To walk on anyway or something.
Yeah, I probably should. Maybe I should still do that if stand up comedy. I don't want to perform in a park.
You could be.
I'll try to walk onto the Liberty. I'm like, when's open tryouts?
I'll take these park shows right now. It's better than no. I like a way
I'm
better.
I'm not complaining. Oh, wait. I'm not one of those comics either. You know me. I'm very easygoing. No. I know.
Of course. I'm usually that comic. I'm usually the one complaining. I was honest.
I feel like it's gonna take some, you know, time to adjust and get used to it. But yeah, like, it is what it is. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you want to perform, you want to, you know, do what you can, and you know, if a park is far from ideal, but it beats like 5 months of absolutely nothing.
I just went on the road. I follow around the Vikings, and I did a resort. In Wisconsin, resort. Wisconsin, how we use our words. but I had to headline a resort in Wisconsin, and then I did Helium in Indy, and it was awesome. Just, you know, I understand why New York's where it's at, though, obviously. We'll get there.
It's just the population density is so different from everywhere else.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah. So we're going to kind of switch gears now and talk about gender in sports.
And my favorite topic.
There we go.
Sporting competition has traditionally been sex segregated along the binary male-female distinction, and challenges to the prevailing understandings of sex and gender have been heard within the sporting community since the 1960s. So two principal questions with regard to sex and gender arise in sport. Is sex segregation in sporting competition morally justifiable? If so, in what category should trans and intersex athletes compete? So what do you guys think?
I think that I understand both sides of this argument, I'll say. I want to answer this in a woke way. Here's my woke answer. Check this out. I understand both sides. You don't want it to be unfair to
whatever people identify
born
as.
Women, to natural born women, I'll say. But at the same time, I understand like trans people have a hard life. They want to be athletes too. They identify as women. This is my solution to satisfy both sides. It's not to give them their own league like other people say, but it's just to change the name. You don't call it male and female sports. You call it like androgynous body type and estrogen or whatever. So the sports are now separated by your estrogen and testosterone levels currently in you, right? Because I don't think that like you'll have the unfair advantage if you like literally
that
do it.
That is super woke.
But they did research on testosterone and said that doesn't really affect your ability to perform.
Well, they could find, they need to do it by muscle mass and just don't call it male and female anymore. Then everyone's happy and they could play sports. They'll probably play with men, but they won't be called men. I think that's like their problem. They don't want to be called men. That's because they don't identify as men. So they don't want to play male sports. I think that they should play the male sports. Just let's stop calling them male sports just to make them happy. I think that, I don't know if that's woke or if that's...
I mean, the problem is there's just not the... I don't know. I think the problem is there's just not the depth of, you know, like it's such a small percentage of the population that it's really tough because, you know, at the end of the day, if you're male at birth, your body has produced testosterone until you intervene medically, your body has had that. So basically it's like you were on steroids for your developmental years. Mm-hmm. If you're male to female transitioning, if that makes any sense.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You never like, see female so, trans.
So it is. Huh?
Like you never see female trans people in male sports. Like even not golf. Like I would think golf would be possible.
I mean, golf is one of those sports where like gender is really, you know, indeterminate if you want to play, you know, if everybody plays from the pro tee, you know, what does it matter? It's, you know, the more violent sports. And the thing is like, you know, there are women who, you know, theoretically could, you know, fight a man competitively. It's just, you know, now you get into like the ethical questions of should, like, just because like a woman and a man sign up, you know, they both weigh the same to fight each other. Ethically, do you feel all right watching a man fight a woman?
Yeah.
Now, if the woman wins, that's, you know, a storyline people can get behind, but it also has the potential to be a very ugly spectacle if it goes the other way.
What if they, I think it's important to discuss these things, but I don't want to disrespect anyone if I say something wrong. I just want to put that out there. If they want to, would this be, this is not woke. What if they have their own league of sports?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what some people
wouldn't be deep enough.
I mean, I'd watch that for sure.
No, I'm saying that's what I'm saying. Like, then maybe, yeah, I understand what I'll never understand. I don't know what they're going through or what they're dealing with. I don't know how I feel about this.
It's
tough hard because I played sports my whole life too, and it's like it's not that I'm against people.
Even not so physical sports like basketball. I'll tell you a story. I was like the manager of Texas A&M.
Basketball is physical. Everyone always says that.
Yeah, basketball is super physical.
Everyone always says that.
Josh, did you watch any of like the bubble basketball this year?
No, I have to admit, I haven't watched.
Oh, dude! Oh, you're missing out. Like, seriously, watch some finals games because it's so jarring how like when they go to the ground and you know all the sounds you can hear with no audience that you know are generally muffled by the crowd. Like the first like game I watched when like they hit the ground and I'm like, oh my god, is his leg shattered? And it's just a normal fall, but it's drowned out by the audience.
Right.
That, like basketball, like the bubble has shown how physical of a game basketball can be.
Right.
Well, yeah, Texas A&M.
Anyways.
Yeah, I guess there was a player actually when I was at A&M, I was actually his friend who like on the court during like March Madness, he broke his leg and like the bone came out.
No. Ask Caitlyn Jenner what she thinks.
No. So I was a manager of Texas A&M. I was one of the managers like for a brief period of Texas A&M basketball. They were a decent team, like the men's team. Like
they're usually decent.
They were like, they would make the tournament and make it to like the second round or maybe the Sweet 16 if they were like a particularly good team. But our women's team, however, was like amazing. They're elite. Like they won the national championship one year that I was in school. One of the years I was in school.
Cool.
They always made the Final Four, at least the Elite Eight. They're basically a top 10 program for women's basketball. Like the practice squad of guys who could not even make our teams, like backups, like it's basically like guys who played like high school basketball in Texas who tried and failed of walking on to the men's team. Like they would just do like, they would come on and play the women and they would just like mop the floor with like the best women in the country. And these are just like guys like out of high school who aren't on a college team at all, but we're trying to make it. So I kind of feel like there is like a big inequality gap with men and women if you're both athletes and training for it, you know?
I mean, that's the thing though, is like, sorry. I'm going to let you go ahead. You have way more experience with this than me.
For example, just because I work with a girl directly now, I have a podcast with a girl who's in the, it used to be the LaLondre Football League, but now it's the Extreme League and Mike Dicta is the commissioner. It's so great. Mike Dicta, really? I'm a little worried about him, but it's hilarious. He's commish. And it's the Tackle Football League now, and they're not lingerie uniforms anymore. They're full on women's tackle football. And I actually made me uncomfortable at first when I watched it like this, because I'm all about girl power, but it was like a little crazy for me. And I was like, this is dope. But I was thinking, I was like, all right, I don't know. I'm losing my point with this. I just don't know if I don't know how to feel about this. And I feel really weird.
Well, the thing is, it's going to be weird until it's not weird. Like the right. UFC, when they started yeah. doing, when they brought over women fighters, like there was a lot of people like, I don't want to watch two women fight. This is ridiculous. This shouldn't, right. you know, this is weird. It's uncomfortable. And yeah, it was uncomfortable for a lot of fans up front right. because, you know, you're just not used to seeing that. Like it's so much more jarring to see a woman get punched in the face than a man when it first started, because you're not used to watching women get punched in the face. You're used right. to men getting punched in the face on television. You don't think twice about it. Women, it was a bit awkward. But now I don't think about it as women fighting. I just think about it as two great people fighting. Like Joanna Jędrzejczyk fought Wei Li Zhang last year. And in my opinion, it was the best fight in all of the UFC last year.
Or both of them.
So like, you're saying
sex indeterminate. Like that right, was okay. just one of the most competitive fights of the year last year.
So male or female or whatever gender you identify, you should be able to play any sport.
You as long as it's not unfair.
I think it's unfair to have them play in the women's leagues, but I'm not saying that they're not women. You know, that I think changing the names of the leagues into like some kind of scientific chemical term of body parts like that aren't.
But then if you build
those leagues, like women yeah, have that, come, and then also, women just have come this far in 2020. I mean, we took for. I mean, dear God.
mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah, and the thing is though, like if you break it down scientifically, then that also you're going to run into the same issues you would run into if you just say, you know, male, female, because there's going to be a certain cutoff point testosterone versus right. estrogen that's going to land you on one side of the equation or another. So yeah. Yeah. the only difference is, you know, you'd be replacing one scientific reduction with another scientific reduction and, you know, not really taking how people identify into account.
Right.
And like, there's no problem with like people identifying the way they, you know, identify. That is fine. But if it's putting other people in danger, that's when it's an issue. Like powerlifting, somebody who's been male for 30 years and then says, I'm going, you know, they identify as a woman, that's fine. But then you go and you just break all of the female bodybuilding records, that can't stand either, because that's going against what those women achieved.
Are they Bill Belichicking people?
I honestly, like, there's not as much game film when it comes to powerlifting, but they're trying.
What about I'm not saying they're a closed mind or whatever, but what if people just like, I just feel like this will come down to politics, religion, beliefs in general, more than the actual.
Yeah.
I don't think it comes down to, you know, that as much. I think, you know, like all those things.
You don't think there's going to be so many freaking people out there, especially sports fans?
Oh, well, there will be, but the thing is, there's always going to be people who suck. Like that's something. And like, suck? Especially, no, like there's a number of people out there who just suck. Like objectively, there are awful people in the world, but we can't, you know, judge by the lowest amongst us.
No, just some people. I think there's good people out there that don't agree with, that they just believe in male and female, but I don't know. Some people just can't come to terms with stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I only believe in male and female. Like, what else is there?
I mean,
I guess there's like this 24 other
intersex. Like intersex, like hermaphrodites, like those
right.
are things.
So,
that
hermaphrodites, don't they usually, as a baby, don't the doctors usually just make them female?
Not
but,
all of
but
them.
That, but even if a doctor makes a choice, that doesn't change how genetically they were born. Like right. that, you know, just because you've kind of pushed in one direction or the other, that doesn't change the fact that this is what you were at birth. Now, to make things easier, they, you know, doctors may take liberties, but it's something that exists.
But being born a hermaphrodite, I think, is way different than being trans. Like being born a hermaphrodite,
it is.
But also,
100% is
at that stage of your development, a doctor can kind of choose, and then your body will adapt to it and naturally grow, like a uterus or whatever. That's I've read that like most hermaphrodites turn into women because it's just a lot easier for the body to naturally. Like understand it.
But some people say that the doctor shouldn't be choosing for them; that they should let them choose once they're adults.
But then you grow up a hermaphrodite, and everyone calls you a freak in school.
I mean, so sad.
I like to hope, like at least, like if there is one positive byproduct of all this wokeness, that if kids are nicer to each other for being different, like because like I can go on about like things about you know. Wokeness that are kind of frustrating and like hinder conversations, but at least like if it does end up with a more compassionate, accepting society, you kind of got to take the good with the bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's definitely a tough subject, but I want to go ahead and move on to our last one. And compared to well-developed literature around sex and gender in sport, issues around race and sport have received surprisingly little attention in the philosophy of sport. However, recent political activism by American football player Colin Kaepernick, we all know who he is, to highlight systematic.
Was he a defensive tackle?
What's that name? Russian or something? no, I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Practice squad guy, right?
he was definitely benched.
he's the 17th highest rated quarterback in Madden, dude. What are you talking about?
Is he?
Oh yeah, dude. They added him as a DLC, and they made him legit middle of the pack quarterback. Like,
well,
they made Lil Yachty the best starter.
Lil Yachty and DJ Khaled were in the last Madden, and they were 99 quarterbacks. DJ Khaled, that fat dude.
DJ Khaled. Oh wow, yeah, that's who I want under center.
Wait, what? It was in some weird mode that you could like choose like your coaches, and they were celebrity coaches. But then they started putting in the celebrities as quarterbacks. It was weird.
Weird.
Oh, okay. Anyway. Yeah, the superstar KO.
But here, finish the last question.
All right.
We just have so much fun on this.
So Kaepernick's highlights his systematic racism in the U.S. against African Americans has inspired philosophical work about race and sport and the ethics of political activism by athletes. And philosophers have examined whether sport and the engagement of minorities in sport perpetuates and promotes white privilege and white interests as well. So I thought that was interesting. And I wanted to ask you guys, this is also probably a tough subject, but what do you guys think? Does involving minorities in sports perpetuate white supremacy? Do you think that's true?
Wait, involving them perpetuate? Like managing the team? I don't think so. A lot of people do. Like, a lot of people think the NFL's like slavery. It's not. They're getting paid millions.
That's what some people
If the NFL is slavery, we're all fucking slaves because we're all fucking like living this
the unfortunate thing about Kaepernick is until this year, it wasn't understood by the majority of what he was protesting. So that's what's sad. And then still people are still struggling and not listening to like what it was really for. But I don't think it's, say it again, perpetuates white supremacy. I know that was the question. I don't think that's it at all.
Yeah. Engagement of minorities, does it perpetuate and promote?
What do you mean engagement?
Or save lives?
And like trading them and like drafting them and working them out and stuff?
Sports save lives, man. Help communities, help raise kids.
A lot of NFL athletes, like Odell, for instance. Were you there that one Giants game? Oh yeah, with the cops.
What?
Well, we went to a Giants game and had field passes. I thought you were there.
Yeah.
So we went to a Giants game and had field passes, and it was just like one of those some day that Odell had like a whole school of like ghetto black kids there. He basically went out and was like hung out with them during the whole warm-ups and like was signing autographs, letting them touch his hair and all this stuff. And it was like,
of course he was.
It's like such a super nice thing, and it like makes you realize that a lot of these athletes are going back and using like a lot of this extra money that they have to go back and try to help their communities and stuff. And I think it's like a big like source of like charity, you know.
Yeah, but a lot of people did hate Kaepernick for what he did and stuff.
Yeah, but that's
just because people who hate Kaepernick, it became a political issue more than anything.
Yeah, right.
It became like left versus right, because, you know, once, you know, Trump weighed in, and then it just kind of became a left versus right thing. Like, if you vote to the right, you stand for your anthem. If you're, you know, to the left, oh, you should be able to kneel. It just became like divided upon the most, you know,
divided fans, unfortunately.
Like the most basic, you know, like the most basic line. But the thing is, it wasn't an affront to the American, you know, to America as a whole.
Or the military.
It's, you know, okay, here's an issue. I want to make a statement about how do I go about doing that? How do I go about, you know, starting this conversation? Because, I mean, you know, talking about it hasn't really netted anything up until several years later. You know,
that
like
talking
now,
about it didn't net anything even several years later, like those protests did, and like us having to watch and see nothing but it because we're stuck at home watching what's happening. Still, like, even though we're not even out, they're still finding ways to shoot us. So,
well, but the thing is, like, honestly, I don't really like wading into these waters, you know, just because
I love it.
I'm a white guy. Well, I'm a white guy, and the world's really clamoring for my opinion on this.
Wait, Amory, are you Latina, Amory?
I'm fake exotic.
Wow.
I'm literally a Nordic. I'm Finnish and German. Castillo's not a through step family.
And I am straight middle of the country white. So
I'm white.
And yeah, like it's, you know, it's just a really messy situation, because like the way I look at it is, I appreciate that, you know, that people are bringing it up. That it's an issue. It's finally starting to catch traction, and we're actually having a real conversation about it. But I feel like the conversation is getting less and less real over time, the more, you know, it's brought up. But it actually just happened this week, like last week. The most nuanced discussion on police brutality I've heard was on Inside the NBA.
Wow.
When
a lot of those guys who are just really great at broadcasting, give such great points when these types of things happen. Like even like a lot of those like former players who've been like broadcasters, I love hearing like their takes. I love Stephen Smith. I even like Skip Bayless, even though he's usually not on my side. I just like hearing whoever he's arguing with is always great.
But I'm saying like their like actual nuance and discussion of the issue was better than I'm hearing on actual news channels. It's better
because everyone has an agenda.
Whereas, you know, they're just speaking from the heart. They're just saying what they think. And it's, you know, Barkley and Shaq caught a bunch of flack for it, but they are, you know, just speaking their mind. And everybody, the problem with this debate is everybody is wrong. Like all sides are, there's something everybody is doing wrong, and everybody is politicizing an issue that should be very clear cut.
Yeah, and I don't. I really don't understand.
People should not be getting killed by police at the rate that they are.
I really don't understand just these that people simple. Like this who are like who just don't understand Colin Kaepernick. After all these years, you still don't understand it. Like you're willfully ignorant.
It's exactly
like,
that.
Like how many times have military people come out and say, "Oh no, we actually gave him the idea to kneel. He was at first sitting on the." How many times
do you? People don't listen and they only want to hear what they want to hear, or they're not informed, they're influenced, like he was bringing up with the media.
Yeah.
So like I talk to a lot of my family and I have a huge military family. So when you know, these military, like everyone thought it was for the flag, the country, like the whatever. And it's like, no, you guys aren't listening.
But the thing is, it's not that they're not listening. It's that they don't, you know, a lot of people don't want to. People have gotten way more attached to their side than they are to actually hearing out a problem. They, you know, they want to be right more than they want to fix the problem. And I feel like that's something about like just about every debate that it kind of devolves into. It becomes, I'm going to ignore this set of facts because I want to be right. The person I'm arguing with is going to ignore a completely different set of facts because they want to be right. Where in reality, the truth lies in the middle, but neither side wants to give an inch because they're used to, if they give an inch, oh, what, now you're going back on your beliefs? Oh, no, you have to. Compromise is something that's not celebrated in this country the way it used to be.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I think it's important to have these type of conversations and at least with each other bring it up and talk
about it. Yeah, I don't know how much philosophy we helped you with tonight or well, any good.
Everything we say is philosophy. That's my philosophy.
Philosophy there you go. Is something you live, you know.
Yeah, our opinions are philosophy.
Yeah.
We could go around and do you want to go around and plug whatever you want to plug and you can give a final point if you want. You don't have to give a final point, but if you have one, starting with me.
I want to say something.
Go ahead.
Because I want to make sports fun again. For real though, I feel like fans and this country's divided in general. And I think sports are such a cool freaking thing that bring people together. And just like, even if you don't agree with a fan, at least like respect them, unless they're your rival. I'm just kidding. That's just the sports competitor in me. But I'm Amory Castillo. I go by Part-Time Bro. I'm actually recording my comedy album in Chicago, November 14th. It's called Name Three Players. It's going to be actually a album that's all sports based related material. So I'm very excited.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. That's all I have.
Cool. How about you?
And I hope the Vikings don't have COVID down there.
All right. I really don't. I don't have anything to plug. I mean, go check out my Instagram page that I have not posted to in 5 years. I might start.
I'm going to go follow you right now.
AM725 on Instagram. My last picture is when Charlie Rangel won in 2014 and he's waving out of the top of a convertible.
Oh, I'll have to find that.
Wait, what is it?
It was do you remember Charlie Rangel? It was when I was living on 125th Street in Harlem.
Wait, what's your
Charlie Rangel?
Nice. Huh? I'm looking at the picture now.
We're looking at your Instagram.
What's your IG? What is it?
AM 725.
I like the picture.
I haven't used it. I don't know. I'm trying to get back into the whole social media thing. I don't know. Not it's always felt right gross to me, but that's why I've stepped away and not posted anything for as long as I have. But
Is this what's really the picture of Geno Smith?
Yep. Yeah, that's when we went to Jets training camp.
Oh, you went me, you, and Jameson, right?
Yep.
Fine. Geno's,
August 3rd, 2013, Geno is the future. # Jets. We were all there rooting on him to take Mark Sanchez's job.
In all fairness, he was the short-term future because he did take Mark Sanchez's job. It's just, you know, he was the near future.
Yeah.
We don't have it. Wasn't 100% wrong. yeah, that's all I got.
She's like, thank poor you guys. Jets.
She's a Niners fan. She's like the best team. I guess technically Titans are the best team now.
Well, they're all hurt right now.
Yeah.
So.
Hurt. Yeah, the Niners are hurting. My favorite was that.
But that's what you need for preseason.
Did you guys see that Thanos meme?
Which one?
Did you beat the Jets? Yes. What did it cost? Everything.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome. What's that? All right. So you can follow me on Instagram at Gosh Carter. That's GOSHCARTER. That's on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow our podcast on Instagram at BWT Podcast. If you want to talk about our podcast, say some nice things about us, your favorite moments, interact with us. We will check and try to reply back to you. That is # but why though pod. That's on Instagram. And let's start that on Twitter too. # but why though pod. And we'll check it. And we'll try to respond back to you if you want to ask us some questions or something like that. And Nye, what's your Instagram and Twitter?
And you can follow me at Miss Nyancy on Instagram and Twitter. That's at MSNAYANCI.
All right. Thank you, guys. Peace.
Bye.